In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. After Wednesday, this week, we won't be greeting each other till next year, God willing, with that wonderful phrase, Christ is risen. And we won't be doing that after Wednesday, since we're moving on, let's say, moving up to ascension. Christ, with the angels and the apostles bearing witness. And that's an exhilarating and exciting thing to ponder, and we'll get to that in due time on Wednesday evening and Thursday, the Feast of the Ascension. And then to Holy Pentecost. We're moving on. And that Feast of Pentecost is that which, let's say, it seals in like a wax seal on an envelope. It ratifies, it attests, it confirms, it validates, it authenticates, whatever synonym you want to use, the reality of the life of the resurrection in us. And that's important that we remember that Pentecost is that crown that we are coming to. We need to be enlightened to be there, though, which is why we're hearing this incredible story today. The enlightenment comes from the grace of the Holy Spirit shining within us so that we can live the life of the resurrection, so we understand who it is we are following and what it costs us. That's very important. You heard about the paralytic. He was reviled. He was made fun of. And this poor man, the fresco's right over there, by the way. This blind man was brought in, and his parents were even subpoenaed, if you want to put it that way. All these stories, these lessons from Acts and the Gospel of John, all since Pascha, are not just for the newly baptized. By the way, their catechism continuing, so to speak. It's not just for those that are preparing now. We have baptisms, six next week. But these readings are for us who perhaps need encouragement because we have lost a bit of zeal since Lent. We need encouragement to live our life, to pursue this illumination that Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the light of the world. On to today's gospel account. Jesus is passing by, as John tells us, and he comes to a blind man. That man had no eyeballs in his sockets. That's a medical condition. There's a nurse or doctor, you can correct my pronunciation, anophthalmia, no eyes. He's blind. Now we're in chapter 9 of the Gospel of John, which follows the dramatic and I would say upsetting chapter 8, with the hatred of Christ just boiling over in chapter 8. So Christ leaves that. It says here at the end of chapter 8, Christ says to them, Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham, I am. He says those words, I am. He identifies himself with the God of Israel, the one who causes things to be. They took up stones to throw at him because he said that. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. Just like he saw the paralytic, just like he saw the Samaritan woman and began a conversation with her, he took the initiative. Jesus has taken the initiative. In other words, Jesus did what the blind man could not do. Jesus saw him. He saw him. He sees us. That's the way St. John That's the way the Lord expresses the primacy of grace, that God initiates everything. I said something like this a few weeks ago. Man does not really search for God. Mostly we run away. Think about it. Man sometimes thinks he searches for God, as I pointed out. And here we are again. Man's search for God, says that wonderful writer and Christian C.S. Lewis, is something like the mouse's search for the cat. We want to know where he is, so we don't go there. That's man's search for God. How many people run from the Lord or want to redefine the Lord to make him more safe? It begins with God. It is not, says St. John the theologian, that we have loved God, but that God has first loved us. We need to remember that and to be encouraged that this is about God's love, taking the initiative to come to us, to change us, to heal us, to give us a life that we did not know before and we could never attain without him. We could not make it up. People could say they believe in God, but until they come to Christ, the giver of light and the healer, they don't really know what God is. God is always searching, reaching out to us poor ones, hoping that we might catch a glimmer of his presence and follow. Sometimes he's outside our window, so to speak, tapping. But we're busy. We can't go there. And then when we do turn around and say, God, oh, he's not there. He expects us to follow. Anyway, Jesus sees the blind man. And that's just an important thing to remember, that God takes the initiative. He's the one that loves us first. Jesus sees this man with the disciples who make some comments, and after some discussion with the disciples about who's to blame for this man's blindness, you know, what we don't understand, we usually think somebody's to blame here. But then Jesus, the Word of God, by whom, through whom, and for whom everything was created, and there was nothing that was created that he didn't create. Just like in Genesis, when God takes the dust of the earth, which he created from non-existence, and made man, Jesus does the same thing here in this story. He stoops down. He takes spit with the dirt that he picked up, and he makes mud. And out of the blue, think, this man is just sitting there begging. And all of a sudden, there's someone putting mud in his eye sockets, smearing mud. And then he says to this man, who hasn't said a word yet, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. You see the pool in the fresco. Go, he says, you know the way to the pool. Others will help you find it. Wash there, as if Christ is saying, I will heal you, but you need to respond. You can't just sit there and expect that this healing will do you any good. You need to respond. And the man is obedient to Jesus. The man does not resist like Naaman the leper in the Old Testament. Remember, why should I wash in the Jordan River? We have better rivers in Syria. Now, suppose this man says to himself, what's with this mud in my eyes? Some total stranger telling me, go wash. Do I trust him? Why would I trust him? Do I put my confidence in him? Why would I put my confidence in him? He says, wash. The blind man did not respond to Christ's instructions with questions and reservations and caveats about how we could follow Christ. What a sorrow it is to me that so many people will come to Christ and begin to be enlightened, and then they see what the cost is, usually from some morality issue in society, which they feel is more merciful than the Lord, and they leave. This man did not have questions or reservations with an anxiety about the future course of his life. The man does not resist the rays of divine light. Jesus says, go and wash, and he goes, and he washes, and he sees. And then he moves forward and encounters challenges he could never have anticipated. But it turns out this man was a wise man. This is what it means to say that Jesus is Lord. This is what it means to put yourself under the headship, the lordship of Jesus. Otherwise, Jesus can do nothing for us. And when he does this, when we do this, we begin to grow in knowledge of the Lord, enlightenment. Our hearts are changed. We are illumined with the light of understanding of Christ, who said, I am the light of the world. Our blind man's faith, like ours, is based on obedience to the Lord, no matter what the cost. I think of the confessors, the martyrs under Soviet times, the saints. I think of us so weak that we give up without any persecution at all, but just because it's inconvenient, just because there's a philosophy we feel might be better than what Christ can give us. But the man's faith was rooted in experience, and that experience is this: one thing I know, and we have to get there too. And that's the core of this message today. One thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. There's the proof that we need. It won't do anybody else any good. The Pharisees had all the proof in the world. They were the so-called spiritual ones, the ones who say, we see, we understand, we know. They became blinded by their hatred and their ignorance and their sin. And Jesus sums it all up at the end, which you don't hear. It's the next verse after the man worships Jesus. It says this: for judgment I came into this world, that is to set things right. That's what judgment means. That those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, oh, are you accusing us of being blind? Jesus says to them, if you were blind, you would have no guilt because you could not see. But you say, we see, and so your guilt remains. The whole story is about one thing I know. Brothers and sisters, go deep in your experience with the Lord. A man that is blind, that receives his sight, what incredible joy. What an amazing gift that would be to a person. A person who is born spiritually blind, as we are, which gains his or her sight in faith of God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, in baptism and in chrismation. What a joy beyond calculation to hang on to it. And there are those that we see in the saints, surrounded by them today, some of them might be sitting here, whose faith is a witness. And they can say, I was blind, but now I see, and nothing will shake that faith. Last week, on Thursday, Deacon Justin and I and a few others were in the small little hut of St. Paisius of Mount Athos, who died in 1992. And we went into his little chapel, and there is his stasidia, his seat, with some of his books that were there, where he spent so much of his time. And we were told, well, this is where St. Paisius the Elder sat. This is where he had many visions of the Lord. and many appearances of the Theotokos to him in his prayer. And we thought, well, of course that's true. With all the miracles associated with this man's name and the wisdom of the words that he had said that were taken down, how could it be otherwise? Our guiding principle in life and in our interaction with the world around us is not our political leanings or our personal feelings or our personal opinions. If you are guided by those things, you might as well create an image of yourself, pray before it, offer sacrifices to it, and you will see that there will be no joy. There will be no illumination. But be honest with yourself and choose whom you will follow and ask yourself, was I blind and now I see? And the Lord Jesus Christ, his life, his teachings will illumine you through the prayers of the saints. Amen. Christ is risen.
Jesus.